The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How did the Holy Spirit empower or enable Old Testament believers? And how did they understand the Holy Spirit and the Trinity? We're delighted that you've joined us today on Grace in Focus, this radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'll be answering these questions, but first I want to tell you about our website, faithalone.org. There you can find out about our online seminary. It is about time for applications if you want to be a new student, and registration for fall courses is right around the corner. Find out more at gesseminary.org or faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Mike, I have a question from someone named Ron, and he's asking about believers in the Old Testament. And he says, isn't it true that in any era or dispensation, the Holy Spirit of God had to be the instrument through which true fruitfulness was manifested? Now, there's a couple things about Ron's question. First of all, a dispensation. So what's a dispensation?
Well, a dispensation, I think, is like an economy, or what is, like, how does God deal with man? You know, there's been a change in the way God dealt with man in the Old Testament versus how God now deals with man today. But in either case, salvation has always been by faith in Christ.
Right. Okay. So it's always been by faith in the Messiah. The Christ, Mashiach and Christos are the same. And in the Old Testament, they believed in the Messiah who was to come, but they believed in him for their eternal destiny. And in the New Testament, we believe in the Messiah who has come and who will be coming again. In terms of the Old Testament, there are multiple dispensations in the Old Testament. For example, what God required of Adam and Eve in the garden was different than what he required after they were expelled from the garden. And that, too, was different, let's say, once the law of Moses was instituted. For example, Abraham was married to his half-sister. Well, under the law of Moses, that would have been forbidden. But it wasn't forbidden in the economy or the dispensation he was living. And things changed again with the birth of the church. So we're no longer under the law of Moses. We're no longer under the Ten Commandments, although nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament under what's called the law of Christ or the law of liberty. But in answer to Ron's specific question about fruitfulness in every age, I would say the answer would be yes, the Holy Spirit enables and empowers not just us in the church age, but he did that during the Old Testament economy as well. However, I doubt that most Old Testament saints understood the Trinity. I doubt they understood about the Holy Spirit being an independent person from Yahweh, from God the Father. Probably most Old Testament saints thought there was one God and one person. It's possible, I have heard an ETS speaker say, you can see in the Old Testament that there are two different people called Yahweh. And you even have the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool or the footstool for your feet.
Right.
So it's possible that some Old Testament saints understood that God was at least two persons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even some understood he was a Trinity. Remember,
right.
David says, don't take your spirit from me. And
yeah.
The spirit was taken from Saul.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with their eternal destiny. That had to do with empowerment.
Yeah, and I think Ron's question kind of was something I used to wonder about too, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit is only given to New Testament saints. So how did these Old Testament saints live if they didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think that is at the heart of what Ron's asking about. Think of it this way. We're told that Abraham was called a friend of God, and we're told that David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Of course, Abraham was before the law of Moses. David is under the law of Moses. But neither man thought legalistically.
Yeah.
Neither man thought, okay, I'm regenerated by keeping the commandments. And neither man thought that the way to please God is primarily by focusing on the commandments. They saw the way to please God was by focusing on Him, falling more and more in love with Him, worshiping Him and praising Him and thanking Him and praying to Him, finding in Him the strength they need to keep the commandments. And that's true today as well. In other words, I think that the experience that Paul had early in his Christian experience in Romans 7, where he started focusing on the law and he found that it spiraled him into sin, that was, I don't think, the experience of David or Abraham. I think they focused on Messiah and Yahweh, and that their focus led them to please Him, and God, the Holy Spirit, did enable them. It's wrong to think that the Old Testament saints did not have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus said to the disciples, "The Holy Spirit has been with you, but He will be in you." Well, the Holy Spirit was with the disciples during the ministry of Jesus, even though the church age had not yet begun and they were not permanently indwelt.
Right.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
So, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with Old Testament believers who were in fellowship with God, but they were not yet permanently indwelt. Now, they at times might be indwelt by the Holy Spirit for special tasks, like prophets or kings would be empowered to do special things at special times. And certainly when they were writing scripture, that would have been the case as well.
Yeah. So you're saying, I guess, a person doesn't need, at least Old Testament saints didn't need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to live successful lives or fruitful lives.
Yeah, well, that's a good, And okay, Ron and Mike here, you guys are teaming up on me. They needed the Holy Spirit, but they did not need permanent indwelling. But now, if you're asking, was there a temporary indwelling for all Old Testament saints, I would say no. Just like He said to the disciples, He's been with you, but He will be in you.
Yeah.
So I don't think whatever "in you" meant, which I take indwelling, I don't think that was true of the disciples during their 3.5 years of ministry, even though they were healing people, and even though they were able to cast out demons, and even though they were able to preach in Jesus' name, yet the Holy Spirit was with but not in them.
Okay.
And I think that would have been true in the Old Testament. But the problem I'm having with your question, Mike, and Ron's question, I don't think the Old Testament explicitly answers that question.
Right. But they did need some sort of enablement from God, whether it's the Holy Spirit or
God the Father directly,
to live fruitful lives, that they were not able to do it on their own. And that's been true in any age.
Well, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That had to be true not only at that point, but in all points in the history of the people of faith. And so, the Holy Spirit was the one who empowered and enabled, and He was able to do that apart from indwelling. But it does appear, and this is where I'm having a hard time answering your question, and for all of you, you need to pray about this and think about this. It appears there were some people in the Old Testament who were temporarily indwelt.
Right.
Because the Spirit was taken away from Saul. I think that means that he was indwelt for a time. And David says, "Don't take your Spirit from me," so it sounds like he's indwelt.
Yeah.
I think that's different than the Holy Spirit being with them.
Yeah.
So it appears that some people were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, like Samuel. The various judges, you know, like Samson, when he would do things, sometimes the Spirit of God would come upon him.
Right.
Well, what did that mean? Was he indwelt during those times?
Yeah.
But these are really tough questions.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think we have a related question while we're at it. Let's hit that other one. You've got one from someone there.
Yeah, from Prescott here. And I guess, again, we're talking about transitions. He states that the book was written to Hebrews not to the body of Christ.
Now, what book is he talking? Oh, he's talking about the book of Hebrews.
I assume he's talking about the book of Hebrews.
Yeah.
And he says, this is a transitional book, as is Acts. And then he tells us that you are not doing as Scripture clearly teaches in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to prove yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah, and I think Prescott's asking, well, he's making a comment, but I think he's making a good one. Now, he's coming evidently from the standpoint of a mid-Acts dispensationalist or a ultra-dispensationalist where he does not believe that, for example, the book of Hebrews is for the church age.
Mm-hmm.
He probably only thinks that Paul's prison epistles are for the church age, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. I'm not sure. He may take a different view. But it's crystal clear that the book of Hebrews was written during the time after Jesus' ascension, before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and it was written to the church. Now, it's writing to Hebrew believers, but we shouldn't say that somehow because they're Hebrew believers, they're lesser or that there's a problem. And I think we need to recognize 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So the Old Testament's profitable, the Gospels are profitable, the general epistles like Hebrews are profitable.
Acts is profitable.
Acts is profitable. It's all profitable, and it's all written to church-age believers. And the idea that the church didn't begin, which is underlying Prescott's question, that the church didn't begin until, let's say, Acts 9 or Acts 15, or some people say after Acts 28, so they call it Acts 29, that's wrong.
All right.
The church began in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
And the church expanded, and the Samaritans were included in Acts 8, the Gentiles were included in Acts 10. But it's not like all of a sudden it became a new church.
Right.
It's all the body of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's important to recognize that we don't know everything there is to know about the Old Testament and how things operated, but we do know that people were born again by grace through faith, apart from works in the Old Testament, just like in the New Testament. And they please God by the work of the Spirit in their lives, not by legalistic mindset, but in the same way that we do, by looking to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So thank you, Ron and Prescott, for your questions. And thanks, Mike, for ratcheting up the question. And remember, keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On the next episode, Jesus said, I am the door and I am the way. What is the difference between the door and the way? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.